Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. A little cooler, at least this morning. I took the day off from the day job, and started doing yard work at a little after 8, and it wasn't terribly hot. By 11:30 it was pretty darn hot. But hope everybody doing well here on this Friday, ready for another big weekend. Man, there's all kinds of football. You had the NFL opening up last night. How about the Lions last night in KC?
Yeah, no, it was a great, a big win for Detroit as they knock off Kansas City in the opening game of the NFL season. There were some folks that thought Kansas City, I mean, there were some 20-0 predictions out there,
yep.
But there are still folks who, I mean, Kansas City enters as the favorite, surprising loss. Mahomes under pressure all night. You wonder if that's something. He wasn't sacked once, but 18 hurries, I think, is what they ended up with. So you wonder if that's something that could plague Kansas City all season long. But they are upset in the first game of the season last night.
Yeah, they were. So we'll keep an eye on that. You got the NFL action the first full weekend. Of course, high school football tonight over on Wings 94.3. It's Auburn High and Dothan down in Dothan. Scott Bagwell will be checking in at some point. He's riding with the team. He's on the bus with the team heading down to the game in Dothan because he's got it solo. He has, he didn't want to just drive down by himself. So he'll be checking in at some point, probably sometime in hour number two, maybe around 5:30 or so. I'm not sure, but we'll hear from Scott at some point here in the show. We have that's one of the high school games. And then you can listen to Lee Scott wrap up their season opening homestand tonight over on AU 100 with Jacob Goins handling the play-by-play. So you've got local high school football tonight here on the air. Tomorrow, of course, it's late night action for the Auburn Tigers as they're in California and they will be taking on the Golden Bears of the University of California in Berkeley tomorrow night, a 9:30 kickoff. And yeah, when we'll talk with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer at some point today. Be interesting to see if he's heard any more of the plans, how to try to keep the team or get the team ready. You want to be at that, you know, emotional and physical peak when the game starts. And that's tough to do when it's, you know, about 3 hours later than you're used to even thinking about starting a game.
I mean, I think the acclimation is one of the challenges. I worry about talking about it too much because the football team that Auburn is playing is a bigger challenge, seemingly.
Well, yeah,
than adjusting to.
They're not just playing the time.
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, the challenge isn't just being awake at 9:30. It's going out there and winning a football game that starts at 9:30 Central Time, and yeah, I think that's staying up late Thursday night for travel reasons. I imagine the team we were talking with yesterday we were talking with the different strategies and different ways that people might try to adjust for the time and yeah, it was Pascal, right, thinking about like,
yeah,
I would probably think that staying up as late as you can tonight and then sleeping in tomorrow and trying to adjust that way rather than...
That's funny because, I mean, usually you got bed check and you want everybody to get a good night's sleep on Friday night, and this Friday you've got to sort of go against it and like stay up about 3 hours later than you normally do on a Friday night.
Well, usually you have a team activity scheduled for before 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? But I think tomorrow I'd be nervous about doing that too, because I think you want the guys to get as much sleep as possible while also being ready to play late tomorrow night. So I think, yeah, how you approach that, how you adjust the schedule to make sure you don't lose the game before it even starts is one of the challenges that Auburn has to deal with when they play a game like this on the other side of the country.
334-321-1390. That is the number to get you through here on the Friday edition of The Drive. We'd love for you to join in. Oh, we didn't mention Coach Don Dunn joining us in the second hour, around 5:15 or so. We'll check in with Don. And, yeah, he had texted me earlier today, and looking forward to being on, and we'll get him to get his thoughts on last week. And also, you know, he's made those cross-country trips, talking about exactly what we were talking about, you know, having the team ready when you're changing time zones as much as Auburn is.
Don Dunn was the defensive line coach the last time Auburn played a regular season game in California. When they played the road game at USC in 2002, the last time Auburn made a trip like this one, Don Dunn was the defensive line coach for that team. Carnell Williams, Auburn running backs coach, was on that roster, played a big role in that game at USC in 2002. So, yeah, we'll talk to Don about his memories of the 2002 game and, yeah, what he thought of the performance last week and what he's expecting tomorrow night from Auburn as they take on Cal. Always great to talk to Coach.
Yeah, so that'll be an hour number two. The rest of the time, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 334-321-1390, that's the phone number.
That's right. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
All right.
So what are you thinking tomorrow night? Well, like let's dive right into it. What was your pick for Matthews? I'll give mine too.
I'm trying to remember what my pick was. I picked Auburn to win.
We had the exact same score last week.
Yeah, let me look.
Do we both need to submit our scores to Drew to make sure this doesn't happen again? Do we need to?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want me to go first and then?
Look while I look it up, because I sent it back on Tuesday.
To
Brian, but I really don't remember what I picked for the score. Here we go. I'm looking at it.
You know, earlier if you'd asked me to pick this game, to pick this game in the offseason, I probably would have picked Auburn by multiple scores. After watching both teams in action, I still think Auburn's the better team. I still think Auburn has the better roster. I think that there are some things Cal did well that will be it'll be very difficult for Cal to repeat that performance against North Texas. And there are some things Auburn did well on Saturday. It'll be difficult to repeat that kind of performance against Cal. I'm thinking it's a close game. I'm thinking it's going to be tough for anybody to establish a firm advantage. I'm going Auburn at the buzzer, 27-24.
Okay, we don't have the same score.
Okay.
All right.
We close?
But we're thinking similarly. I picked Auburn 31-27.
Okay. So we're in the...
I'm picking it under the number. I think it's going to be close. I think both teams have some weaknesses that can be exploited defensively. Auburn needs to prove that they can stop the running game of Cal. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I've heard some people say they hope that Sam Jackson plays because he's not a good passer. I don't know if I hope he plays healthy because he's a darn good runner.
I saw Tyson Pumachon have a couple of runs before.
Jackson is a threat with his legs.
Before Pumachon got hurt, he made a couple of runs in the first half of the UMass game that had Auburn's defense. What was the one where he fakes out? Was it Simpson? There's an Auburn player on the option play where it seems like there's an Auburn player that just has Pumachon dead to rights, open field. Pumachon with a little head fake and a fake pitch, able to free himself up for some room. And that's, I mean, Auburn improved as the game wore on, but although I think some of that was UMass getting away from the running after that first drive. So, yeah, I think how Auburn can stop the Cal run game, regardless of who's playing quarterback, is one of the things that this game hinges on.
I just think their running game could be more dangerous if they have a running quarterback as well. So I do think Auburn has the advantage, special teams, and that could be the difference in the ball game. We'd love to hear from you. Again, anything you want to talk about sports-wise, but give us your thoughts on Auburn-Cal, Alabama-Texas, any of the games coming up this weekend. And we'll get to our hotline, and Yellowhammer is up first. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, okay. Hey, you good? Good. Here's my question. The phenomenon known as jet lag is supposedly worse going east to west. Is that correct?
Yes, usually it is. Because you lose time. It's all of a sudden, it's all of a sudden earlier, and so you've got more time. Than it seems, and it's hard to catch that up. I mean, you have to like we were talking about, stay up really late and sleep.
The thing Hugh Freeze said, I think it was on Tiger Talk yesterday. I don't know. I mean, these guys are on planes so much. Like, the bus travel has been phased out of the highest level of college football, to the point where if we're talking about an extra 2 hours on a plane, I don't know if that's going to make a world of difference. When Hugh Freeze talks about 2 nights in a hotel room before they go out and play, like, that's an adjustment for these guys where you really feel like you're away from home, and the feeling of travel and the adjustment your body needs to make accordingly. Like, that's where, I mean, when you wake up that third day in a hotel room before you go out there and play, like, that's where I could feel like Auburn needs to take steps on Saturday to make sure the team is fresh before they go out there and play.
Yeah, and like I said, that's my concern, is what do you do all day Saturday? It's tough to expect them just to sit around for, 6-7 hours before they even head over to the stadium.
Because the game will be broadcast here on Central Time at 9:30, which is really 7:30 out there.
That's right.
And so we will fail. Like, we're up at 9:30.
Well, we will be.
Even though, and we will, yes, okay. And so, overcoming jet lag takes a number of days, really, doesn't it?
Well, I guess it depends on the person. It didn't bother me that much.
And the plane travel, too.
When I've flown out.
I mean, it would be different if they were flying to Japan.
Well, yeah.
Than California, too. If we see mistakes being made on Saturday night, I don't think it's because of the jet lag from the flight Thursday.
Or not all.
From Atlanta to California.
Well, we did say the phenomenon of playing at 11 o'clock seems to hamper a lot of people's style.
Yeah, the thing is, it's tough for any fan base to be as amped up at 11 o'clock in the morning as they are going to be, either in the late afternoon or evening.
I got no amps at 11.
Yeah. Yeah, the battery's about dead. Yep.
Okay. Well, so how much of a factor is that really? Is once the game starts, who cares about jet lag? Maybe, huh?
Yeah, that's where I am. Yeah. That's my thought on it.
Okay. Well, I like both of your picks, I guess, but I don't really know anything about Cal, so I can't really make a pick. But I just hope we win.
Yeah, I'm with you. Appreciate
it. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Yellowhammer. Just getting underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
We will talk to Justin Ferguson, who is in the Bay Area. That's in about 15 minutes. We're going to call him at 4:30 to talk about tomorrow night's game.
Good deal. We will do that. In the meantime, come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
It's been from the Abbey Award-winning...
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Yes, the regular crew here on the Friday drive. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on any of the ball games going on this weekend. We now have our guests lined up for the day. I mean, they're two of the three are, you know, out and about. We don't, you know, had to figure exactly when we would be able to connect with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. He'll be checking in, or we'll check in with him at 4:30. And then Scott Bagwell on the way down to Dothan with Auburn High. We'll check in with us at 5 before Don Dunn joins us at around 5:15. So that is our schedule here for the afternoon. We're wide open here this segment, so we'd love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on the Auburn-Cal game. How do you see it playing out? Auburn about a 6.5-point favorite. They're out in Berkeley. And you really, again, after week one, it's still there's still a lot to be determined because of the opponents that most teams played in the first week. I mean, Auburn and Cal won handily, and you don't know, you know, how good or bad those teams they played, nor a lot of teams that won handily last week.
Cal had tremendous success running the football, but North Texas seemed to be undersized and struggling.
They didn't seem extremely fast.
They didn't tackle all that well. There were a couple highlights where they were really even when they had the ball carrier outnumbered, they still were struggling to end the play. I think Auburn's front seven physically, it's a much different matchup than the one that the Cal faced against North Texas. The question is, what kind of front seven is Auburn taking to the game? Austin Keys. By the way, I think there's a play. I was watching the first half. I was at Franklin earlier today. I was watching the first half of the Auburn game. I think there's a. I think it might be that long run by Pumichon where Austin Keys runs him down at the very end of it.
Think that may be where he got hurt?
I think that might. Yeah, because he seems to. There's an awkward moment with his hand, and I think the next play we see him, it's wrapped up. So that might have been the play where he injures the thumb against Pumichon. We're not seeing Austin Keys tomorrow.
Nope.
Going to be a lot of pressure on the other linebackers to keep that Cal running game in check.
Right, and there are only three other guys that really have much experience at all. There's Cam Riley, Eugene Asante, who I thought played well last week, and then Larry Nixon, the North Texas transfer. Those are your three experienced guys at linebacker.
Steiner was in the game in the second quarter when they were playing without Austin
Keys. And
he
started some games. That's true.
He has some starts. So I wonder if we see more Wesley Steiner Saturday than we did.
Oh, I bet you would.
I would think so without Austin Keys available. But still, you know, what kind of run defense is Auburn going to be able to play against whoever's playing quarterback? We know Cal's going to run the football.
Jackson
with those running
or Finley.
Backs.
Finley's not the runner. He's a much better passer, and their play action worked very well because they were able to run the ball so well last week with Jaden Ott and his backup. They both looked pretty good.
And Jackson, when he was in the game, made a couple of really impressive plays with his feet to extend plays and to keep defenses from being able to just focus on the run game. As far as Cal's defense, North Texas imploded in the second half, 9 yards of total offense, 0 points.
Yeah, they had 21 points in the first half. They moved the ball in the first half fairly well.
So North Texas did a couple of things that I thought were interesting against Cal. They had multiple plays in the first half where the North Texas receiver won in one-on-one coverage against the Cal defensive back. And there were three or four completions down the field where North Texas just won in man coverage against Cal. I wonder if that's something. I mean, we're talking about against UMass, Auburn was going to lean on the inside receivers, the small undersized guys who could be there where the run defense used to be. You throw it where the blitzer used to be, and someone like Jay Fair or Javarius Johnson can make a play. This might be a game where it's the outside receivers. Can Auburn get one-on-ones on the outside, and can they win those matchups and move down the field? Like, that's where there could be a little more pressure on Auburn to produce that way than there was in the first game, or seeing North Texas have that success against Cal makes me think, like, maybe that's
I just wonder. I mean, we didn't see that much of Jair Shorter last week. You know, Auburn didn't target Rivaldo Fairweather.
Was Camden Brown
Nick
targeted?
Gardner was banged up. I think Camden may have been targeted once.
Once, yeah. I mean, so that's another one where
so Auburn's got some big guys. They didn't really have to go to them much last week. We'll see. The offensive line, this will be a really good test for the offensive line. I mean, it's still not – it's not a great front that Cal has, but it is – you know, it's a Power 5 front. We'll see how they handle that. I thought they played well last week. We'll see
the Auburn offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line. I thought they played well last week. We'll see how well they do. I mean, the first thing is you want to be able to run so you can set – so the RPO really – you know, really works them respecting your run, and Auburn and Cal, I think, are both gonna try to establish the run.
Different kind of challenge for Cal, because North Texas wasn't all that interested in running the football like that. That is a
Auburn will be interested.
That,
in
see, running that football. That was a North Texas team that looked like they were gonna try to run a more traditional air raid, 70-80% pass attempt offense, and I mean you saw half-hearted play-action attempts that Cal wasn't buying from North Texas because North Texas wasn't trying to run the football. So why would they? Why would they respect the play-action all that much? And so I'm curious to see if Cal, against a team that's bigger up front and looking to establish a run game up front, much more so than Cal's opponent last week. I wonder if that's something Cal can hold up to defensively, because it's just a. It's a very, very different philosophy and really different personnel with the offense that Cal is facing tomorrow night against the one that they as opposed to the one they saw on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, both teams obviously trying to bounce back from disappointing last few years out here. And this is a big ball game for both. Don't think this isn't a big ball game for Cal, and you may not think it's a big ball game for Auburn. Just lose it. Then you'll see how big it is.
Yeah, I mean, you and I disagreed about that yesterday.
I'm telling you lose this ball game, it's going to – a lot of people are going to go, oh, crap, it's going to be another one of those mediocre years. You win it, you've still got a chance to have a really good year. I don't think you're going to have a really good year if you lose at Cal.
My opinion of the A&M game in a couple of weeks, like we were talking about, like, you know, could something happen – could something happen on Saturday that changes your opinion of how Auburn's going to fare at College Station when they play their first game?
Sure, A&M goes in and blows out Miami. Sure. That may change my opinion.
But as far as in the Auburn-Cal game, I would think that if this game is close at the end, winning or losing it won't change my view of Auburn's chances in the A&M game, if it's close at the end.
No, it may not change your view of Auburn's outcome against Texas A&M, but it'll change my view of the outcome of the season.
So here's what could change. If Auburn were to clear, and we got somebody trying to get inside, Drew. If Auburn were to look clearly inferior to Cal, I mean, I guess there's a chance Cal could be on the verge of a very special season, and you'd wait to see that. But one would think that clearly being a tier below Cal would suggest that when you've got SEC games coming up against teams that are on paper a lot better than Cal, that's where I would think, oh, you know, it's going to be a really long season. If Auburn's multiple scores behind in the second half of this game,
oh, then it's going to be a bad year
early on.
It's going to be a bad year.
Like that's where it's like, I mean,
I'm just saying, I think that if Auburn loses to Cal, no matter what, if they lose to Cal, they're going to struggle to be much better than a 500 team.
That's interesting that you would. I mean, I see your point.
They lose that one, then the best they're going to go is 3-1 out of conference, right?
Right.
All right, so they have to go – to be over 500, they're going to have to go 4-4 in the conference.
Right.
They lose to Cal, give me 4 wins. Vandy, you would think?
Yeah.
We'll see if Vandy goes up and knocks off Wake Forest. Maybe that might change.
I mean, the four most winnable games right now would seem to be Vandy, the Mississippi schools, and A&M. But
A&M more than Arkansas?
Yeah, at Arkansas, you're right. I mean, A&M and Arkansas are both on the road. I mean, it's one or the other there. So, yeah, no, it's interesting how. I mean, I guess I don't want to jump to conclusions after a close
game. I don't think Cal is an upper. is a team that would finish in the upper half of the SEC.
And I guess you could also say, like, if Auburn plays this game close and wins, that could also be troubling because on paper.
Could be, but I'm not as concerned if you win it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I would even say that if it's a razor-thin game at the end, you can dust yourself off and say, you know, crazy things happen on the road. It would be a really tough pill to swallow to see Auburn lose a game that's not competitive, right? Because that's where it's like,
oh yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying it's moral victories if you lose it close, but if you lose it close, you can say any number of half a dozen things maybe in the game. You know what I mean? Like you can make excuses and say
that's what Cal did last year when they went 4-8.
Right, and that's why
lost a lot of close games. They're close, and maybe they are.
And they believe
maybe they're making that next step. I mean, we'll see.
And you do tend to, I mean, there's something to be said, we've seen teams that lose a lot of close games rally quickly and turn it around, as opposed to teams that are getting destroyed.
You've seen a lot of teams that teams that lose a lot of close games continue to lose a lot of close games.
Well, and players leave and things. I mean, you can't build the way you used to. So, no, I mean, it's important to win. It would be incredibly discouraging to see, after everything we've heard this offseason, to see an Auburn team that is like a several steps below, phrase it however you want, to see that tomorrow night would just be, that'd be crushing. And I don't expect to see that either. Like, I think Auburn's got the kind of talent where they can keep this game at least, Auburn should be
the more talented team.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, even though Auburn's on the road, I mean, they're a touchdown favorite. Like, I'm thinking, it's not unlike, I don't want to make this comparison because North Texas is a Conference USA team, right? Like, they're not. But, like, if Cal had gone to North Texas and they'd been clearly inferior, like, what that would mean moving forward, like, there's something to that. And Cal was a 7-point favorite against North Texas. Auburn's a 7-point favorite against Cal. Like, it's not miles apart. So, yeah, I think that'd be a tough pill to swallow tomorrow.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll check in with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer from the West Coast when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And we are efforting, and I think we got it. Yeah. We had Justin Ferguson. We do have him back with us. And Justin out in California to cover the Auburn-Cal game late tomorrow night. Justin, of course, from the Auburn Observer, joining us here on the Friday Drive. Ferg, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I hope. I'm standing on some rocks in Half Moon Bay. I don't know if you're going to pick up some waves crashing or anything, but I felt like it might make for some good radio audio. So, doing well.
It is all.
It would make even better if we had the video. Yeah,
We don't have. Yeah, no. Justin might be in a phone booth right now. We cannot hear the hotel or the waves crashing. But it is. It's great to hear. It's great to hear from Justin. Nevertheless, how was the trip over, Ferg?
Oh, it was great. It's been pretty smooth so far. Flight wasn't too bad for, you know, going all the way across the country. And it's been a good day. Got some work done this morning and just kind of making our way down to San Francisco. It's the three of us that are traveling. We've never been out here before, so we're kind of hitting some of the highlights. Going to the Giants game tonight. Just trying to gear up for tomorrow because it's gonna be a long game day for sure. Between Auburn and Cal.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, for one thing about going to the going west and gaining time is it's easier, at least early on, for folks who are the late, you know, the night owls, the folks that stay up late, because wow, you can get a lot done, and you look down and you go, it's only 2:30.
Yeah, no, it was crazy because it was like I woke up this morning, and I mean I'm usually a night owl and you know, woke up this morning, rolled over, and it was like 6:45 over here, and I was like, "Man, what am I doing up this early?" But it's like, no, that's, you know, it's 8:45 back home. So, Yeah, it's hope everybody back in Auburn, you know, stays caffeinated and geared up because it's going to be a late one tomorrow night.
So what stands out to you as you've researched this game and looked into Auburn's performance from last week? What stands out as some of the keys that will decide who wins this game tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious one that everybody's already been talking about all week long and for good reason is Cal's running game against Auburn's run defense. It's Auburn run defense. Gotten a lot of criticism, really, you know, since last season, you know, that continued in fall camp. You know, Saturday against UMass drives right down the field, a lot of runs, scores a touchdown. And then, like, throughout the game, they didn't really score much after that. But, you know, it was a situation where they still broke some explosive runs. You know, that field goal drive that, you know, UMass missed on in the second quarter, it was two explosive runs set that up. So, it is a problem because Cal's got a star running back in Jay Knott, had a phenomenal year last year at Cal as a freshman. The Montana State transfer that they picked up is really good. They've got a third running back who contributed really well. North Texas's defense is bad,
yep.
But the fact that Cal ran so many plays and looked so explosive and then doing that with a backup quarterback I thought was a really big sign, you know, on Saturday, you know, for the North Texas in that North Texas game. So Auburn's defense has got to be able to, you know, slow them down. You're not going to be able to shut them down. But a big play running backfield is going to challenge you. That alignment, assignment, tackling, all the stuff we've heard Auburn kind of struggle with here recently. Cal's going to give them a really big test in that because they feel very confident about what they got in those guys in the backfield.
Have you heard anything on Jackson lately? I mean, I understand he was at practice Tuesday or Wednesday, but really don't know whether he's going to be able to go.
Yeah, he said earlier this week that that he plans on playing. He's going to at least give it a go. The thing is that Ben Finley, I mean, played really well off the bench for them without him. I think if Jackson starts or if Jackson plays, it just adds another rushing element to Cal's offense. Finley's not as much of a runner as Jackson is. Jackson, a guy that actually he was a great receiver for Peyton Thorne in high school, and then moved over to quarterback at TCU. He ran the ball pretty well in his you know mop up minutes there. And then on Saturday against Cal, before he got hurt, he had a couple of really good runs in that game as well. Kind of made something out of nothing on one of those plays. So you know, if Jackson plays, I think it makes Auburn, you know, it's tougher for Auburn because you're going to have to deal with the threat of a really good running quarterback. If it's Finley, you know, you don't need it. You don't need a rest because I think last week he played so well off of Cal's running game. And, you know, in an offense with Jake Spavital, they are going to get the ball out of their hands quick, you know, with the quarterbacks. And so, you know, Jackson sounds like he's going to try to play. I wouldn't be surprised if we see both of them tomorrow for Cal against Auburn. But it'll be very interesting to see. I do think the big factor here is, you know, no matter who the quarterback is, this is where Auburn could take some advantage because neither Jackson nor Finley have a ton of starting experience and a lot of experience, period, in quarterback play. Peyton Thorne, he's played in some big games. He's played in some big road games, some big trips before. You know, can he show, you know, why Auburn, you know, made such a big effort to go get him this offseason? And this will be a big opportunity. I think they're going to have some opportunities to take some shots against Cal's defense. They gave up, you know, when North Texas wasn't turning the ball over in the first half against Cal, they did hit some big plays downfield. And so I wonder if Thorne can be the guy to kind of deliver in those situations.
Yeah, I was surprised to see North Texas have success in man cover against Cal's man coverage, the secondary, one of the strengths of this Cal team. North Texas didn't really try to run the football. It's tough to project like the Auburn matchup against Cal's defense because the North Texas offense seems to be very different from what Auburn is, not just in personnel, but in philosophy and the way they tried to. I mean, didn't seem like North Texas really tried to get a run game going. It's an air raid offense, and you know they're going to take shots, and I thought some questionable ones. Like, what are you thinking? You know, what do you think could be the keys when Auburn has the ball?
Yeah, I think Auburn's going to be able to run it against Cal. This is not a Cal defense that is very big at the line of scrimmage. They've got a good linebacker. Peter Sermon, their defense coordinator's son, is a really good linebacker. You know, potentially has an NFL career ahead of him. Maybe, you know, you see something there with it. But, you know, I think Auburn, you know, they're going to want to be able to kind of lean on their running game, right, especially if somebody like Jarquez Hunter is able to play, you know, lean on that running game. But I do think Thorne's going to be able to take some opportunities. And you said that man coverage, like for Auburn's receivers, getting open downfield and making plays. We saw in the limited passing work we saw in the UMass game, we saw Thorne like have the full confidence in the world to just chunk it up in one-on-one coverage and say, hey, go make a play. Cal's DBs are going to be better than what they got against UMass, but that confidence in the speed and the size and the athleticism of Auburn's receivers, this is a great opportunity for them to kind of step up. So while I think Auburn would love to be able to run the ball just like they did last week, they're going to need to make some plays in the passing game, be balanced, be explosive with their balance. And, you know, this Cal defense, you know, isn't overly impressive. Last season they weren't very good, and they've got some guys who made some plays, and they were better against North Texas. But, I mean, just North Texas just could not hold on to the ball, barely ran any plays in that game. And, you know, I thought some of the opportunities that North Texas did take in the first half, I thought were, you know, a sign. I just, you know, Cal's defense could come up and have a good game tomorrow, and Auburn's, you know, working out a lot of kinks on offense. But I do think there's opportunities there, because I do think there are some areas where you can attack both on the ground and through the air with this team.
Auburn didn't really target their outside receivers that much last week. I mean, you saw Malcolm Johnson late catch a couple of passes from Holden Gurner, but they didn't really target those guys. We didn't see, you know, see them as much. I think they'll need to be able to make some plays this week.
Yeah, I'll give you another one. Rivaldo Fairweather was like not a factor in the passing game at all. No, really, none of the tight ends were either. And I think that's one of those, hey, save it for something later. Shane Hook's really the only receiver that got targeted. I think he had 5 or 6 targets by the end of the game. But yeah, that was the only real outside guy that you saw get a lot of traffic. And I think this is an opportunity where, you know, if Cal feels like they're gonna have to commit more dudes in the box, more bodies to, you know, slow down the run game, protect that threat, and leave their guys on islands. Hey, one-on-one football, go up and get it, make a play, beat your man, win your matchup. This all this stuff we've heard about Auburn's wide receivers, you know, throughout the offseason. They got to just go out there and prove it, because Peyton Thorne does look like the quarterback is going to have the confidence to throw it up there. He is not afraid to challenge dudes downfield one-on-one.
What are you expecting as far as atmosphere tomorrow night? Do you think it could be a sizable Auburn contingent in the stadium? I know there's a big NorCal Auburn section.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a decent Auburn crowd for a game played across the country. I do think it's going to be a good Cal crowd too. It's funny, we kind of walked around Stanford's campus today, saw some of the facilities there. Stanford's not in school right now. Like they don't start until the end of the month. I think Oregon's the same way. Cal's back in school. Cal's school already started. They're expecting a really good crowd tomorrow night in Berkeley. It's going to be a late game. Weird stuff happens at Memorial Stadium in these super late games, as we've seen over the years for Cal. So I do think it's going to be an interesting atmosphere. Not going to be the size and the you know, ferocity of what you get, you know, from an SEC environment for sure. But it's your first test away from home where, you know, not everybody's cheering for you. And so I think for Auburn, it's just how do you adjust to that? And how do you get that communication on offense and defense? Got to be clean on that, on both of those fronts.
One of the questions is, who is going to be available for Auburn? You've got the injuries, and then Jarquez making the trip with the team.
Yeah, so Jarquez making the trip with the team. Now, you know that there's no limit on, you know, who you can send out here. You know, it's not a conference game with your travel squads and all that, so – but, you know, that does seem like a decent sign that he could be able to play.
Yeah, I mean, it still costs you money to send to take him out there.
Exactly. Yeah, good point. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good sign. I did think, though, outside Austin Keys, who picked up that injury against UMass, is going to be out for a little while. I think Auburn rested guys they felt like, or you held back guys that they felt like didn't need to go last week against UMass. Those guys were out there practicing on Saturday, so I'm talking like Nehemiah Pritchett, Jalen McLeod, Nick Martiner, some of these. So it's plenty of guys out there. And then some of the guys that like got to actually play last week that had some injury concerns coming in. I think about, like, you know, Dan and I talked on the last podcast that we did for the Observer about Keldrick Falk. Like, Keldrick Falk was only out there for a handful of plays against UMass, but had plenty of production out there, very efficient with his opportunities. I think this is a game where some of those guys who got to get their feet wet last week and show that they're, you know, decently healthy, you might be able to kind of turn them loose. So I'm not saying Auburn won't have guys who sit out. You know, there's always injury concerns, and you might not have guys going full speed. But I do think the fact that a lot of those dudes were out there at practice on Tuesday when we were out there is a really good sign that this could be nearly a full strength team for Auburn when they come out there on Saturday night in Berkeley, outside of course Austin Keys.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, man. I appreciate you making some time for us. I know you've got a busy next couple of days covering this game and getting back to Auburn. We're enjoy the Giants game tonight.
Yeah.
And have fun. Tomorrow in Berkeley.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, we got, the Giants are playing the Rockies, so it's pretty, and the Giants are on a pretty big losing streak, I think. So
yeah, it's a good team to play when you're struggling.
Yeah, it's get to play, get some cheap tickets, gonna enjoy that. I've always wanted to go to the ballpark out here, so we're gonna get that opportunity. And we've got plenty of stuff on the site. Dan and Painter and I previewed the game, the Cal game, on our podcast. Came out Thursday morning. Big mailbag came out today. A lot of Cal stuff in there. A lot of Cal stuff throughout the week. I'll have observations on Sunday morning for all y'all from the Cal game here. Live from Berkeley. We'll do a podcast as well on Sunday. Film room, if the Wi-Fi holds up for me on the flight back to Atlanta on Sunday. Film room should be out on Monday, so should be a lot of fun. AuburnObserver.com. Check it out. $6 a month or $60 a year. We email everything out to you, and should be a pretty eventful weekend on this side.
Great stuff, Justin. How are you feeling about the game?
I like Auburn's chances if they play a clean game. I think if they go in there and they force turnovers and give up big plays with mistakes, with your alignment, some of the things that Hugh Freeze has been harping on. Cal's definitely a talented team enough and got some weapons on offense and that they can, put up points on Auburn to make it a tough game. But Auburn plays a clean game, four quarter game, kind of weathers the storm. I think they've got a good chance to walk out with a win on Saturday. But I do think it's going to be a closer and tighter and more competitive game than we thought it was going to be. I guess a few months ago we weren't talking about this Cal team like we're talking about them now. And I think that's a sign of what kind of game we'll see tomorrow night.
Yeah, Dan's got Auburn by three. I had Auburn by four, so I think we're right there with you.
Yeah, I think it could be right around one possession game for sure. If Auburn wins by double digits or more, triple digits would be impossible. But if Auburn wins by double digits, that would be really impressive. I think to come out on the other side of the country, beat a power conference team. By that much, that would be for a team in rebuild mode and reload mode. That'd be a really big, really good sign for those guys.
No doubt about it. Great stuff. Hey, thanks again, Justin. We appreciate your time. Have a good time out there and a safe trip back.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Justin Ferguson joining us from the Auburn Observer out on his way to San Francisco. And with that, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers.
ENAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. A couple of minutes left here in hour number one. Our thanks to Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer for joining us. So, I get that feeling from a lot of people that cover Auburn, that Auburn should win, but it's probably closer than we thought, back in the summer.
Yeah, I think that we were waiting to see what this Auburn team looked like. I was cautioning people all
offseason. I wasn't disappointed in what we saw from Auburn.
Well, I was cautioning people all offseason. Like, don't think the season starts with the Texas A&M game. Like, don't think, well, Auburn's got three games where the opponent is hapless and overmatched, and then Auburn plays a conference game in week four against Texas A&M. I mean, Cal's a Power Five team that played quality opponents last year and had a couple of close games in the Pac-12. I mean, it's a team that doesn't. They don't have the talent of Auburn's roster. People would tell you that. Like it's Auburn's going in on paper is the better team. But it's much closer than it was last week or next week or
you're right.
I mean it's
still a Power Five school that has some players that have been there for a while. They've got some experience.
Yeah, and I mean I don't know if Mississippi State would be favored at Berkeley on Saturday.
Either.
I don't know if Vanderbilt would be.
Vandy wouldn't.
There are teams on Auburn's schedule in the conference that would not be expected to go to Berkeley and win. So I think it's a it's an early test for Auburn, not just because you're going across the country and playing an unfamiliar opponent, but because you're playing a quality opponent. The best out of conference opponent you'll play this year, and you're playing them. It's your first real test in a lot of ways for this team.
All right, we're halfway done. Scott Bagwell, voice of Auburn High football, joins us when we come back, and then Coach Don Dunn after Scott. So stick with us for hour number two of the Friday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Drew, the regular crew here in the studio, as we have a busy second hour. Our thanks to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for joining us in hour number one. Ferg out in California getting ready to cover Auburn and Cal. Well, actually, he's getting ready to watch the Giants and the Rockies tonight.
That's not why he's there.
In San Fran. No, but he went to cover Auburn and Cal. When you're there, hey, might as well. They've already been on campus at Stanford. I should have said, go by the chapel and see if you can, you know, the Stanford Chapel is where my mom and dad were married.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Stanford's campus is absolutely gorgeous. That's something I got to do when I was up in NorCal about a decade ago. And that is, yeah, that place is, I'm told, I'm not much of a golfer. I'm told the nicest university-owned golf course in the country is the one that Stanford plays on. I think maybe some Tiger Woods donations.
Would that be a possibility?
But
yeah,
that's something I know. Caldwell was looking for a golf course. I was like, find a Stanford alum on the bunker to sponsor you. If there's a Stanford alum on the bunker, find one and get him to sponsor you out there. But yeah, it sounds like they're having a great time.
All right, and here in hour number two, we have guests right from the start. And let's get to the phone line and welcome in the voice of Auburn High football, and that is Scott Bagwell, who is the lone voice tonight on the broadcast as the Tigers heading down to Dothan to take on Dothan. Scott, how you doing today?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Doing fine, man. A tough loss last week, a game where, you know, Auburn made some mistakes. But fell behind, came back, had the lead, only to see it go away there on a last second field goal.
Yeah, Auburn, you know, makes a bunch of mistakes and then fight back, you know, score 16 straight, get the lead. You got the ball with the lead in the later stages of the fourth quarter, and you're thinking, hey, we got an opportunity to escape, get out of this thing with a win. And, you know, wins obviously are so, so valuable, but wins when you don't play well, even more so. And then Auburn just makes one more mistake. That's the difference in the ball game. They fall 17-16. And you know what? When you're minus three in the turnover battle, it's going to be hard to win to win football games in 7A Region 2, which is absolutely loaded this year.
Yeah, and Auburn's dealing with a quarterback injury too. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jackson Kilgore banged up at the end of the Enterprise game. He is a game-time decision. They have worked a whole bunch of different quarterbacks this week, and we'll see what happens. We expect to see multiple quarterbacks regardless of who gets to start here tonight.
Scott, how much difference will that make in what Auburn does offensively?
It's a big difference. You know, Jackson was the unquestioned number one through spring, through summer, and this fall camp. So, you know, whoever gets the nod is going to be somebody who hasn't had near the rep. And that's because Auburn had to play catch up this spring and summer with Jackson. You know, Jackson was a sophomore third stringer last year who spent that whole year thinking he was going to be the two this fall. And now he had to get sped up to the one. So we'll see what happens. We expect to see Crawford Lothridge, a sophomore at quarterback, and maybe even some receiver Ian Nation at quarterback, and maybe some other things as well. As Auburn knows, they got to find a way to get a win here tonight
you know, it's an ultra-competitive region. Six teams really competing for four playoff spots, and Auburn's already 0-1. When you're talking about that group of six teams, Auburn's 0-1, can't afford to go 0-2 amongst those six.
Yeah, I wonder if the mindset has been a little bit different this week, because this is not a team that's accustomed to being 0-1 in region play. I mean, they've had such success these last couple of seasons. Jarring home loss last week, and you know that you really don't have much time to grieve over it, because you gotta turn around a week later and play a road game that's really important in how the rest of the season goes.
Yeah, last time Auburn lost a region home game to somebody not named Central was back in 2019 against Lee, and in that one it was a buzzer beater loss as well. Auburn rebounded that year, went on to the Final Four. So, you know, there's kind of a story that's been there where, you know, you take a punch early and you rebound and you're able to save the season. This team, I think, knows that last week doesn't define their season. What they also know is, and I talk about it with Coach Etheridge in the pregame show, and how big of a game this is. And I said, Coach, I don't know if this is a must win. He goes, you don't have to call it that. I'll call it that. For Auburn to make the playoffs and to have a very clear path to the playoffs, tonight's a must win.
Yeah, no question about it. So give us a scouting report on Dothan.
So Dothan, Dan, I think you're familiar with the offense. It's the same offense that Enterprise ran a couple of years ago from the head coach who had Chandler Cox as his quarterback down in Florida. It's a single wing. They're going to run the ball a bunch. When they do throw the ball, they want to take shots. But don't let the fact that it's kind of a 3 yard and a cloud of dust offense. It's not really what they want to do on the run game. They want to get 7, 8, 9 yards, and they're averaging 50 points a game. They've scored on just about everybody they've played the last couple of years, with outside of a handful of games. So that's the headliner for Dothan, is the fact their offense is so efficient, they're so good on the ground, and they put so much pressure on the opposing offense to score when they get the ball. You know, it's a team that has athletes, it's a team that made the second round of the playoffs last year. Auburn ended their season, and Auburn beat them twice last year. So there's a revenge factor coming into that one. And you have the fact that Dothan's number six, Auburn's number five, and you can look at Auburn as kind of that wounded animal coming into it. So Dothan's kind of licking their chops here tonight.
Yeah, so with Auburn having the question there at quarterback, I mean, what do they rely on? What do they need to do tonight?
The defense has to be as good as it has been all year, and especially yesterday, or last week, rather. Last week, the Auburn defense played phenomenally. I mean, they had negative three passing yards given up, about 145 rushing yards given up. All 17 points came directly resulted from turnover. Auburn needs their defense to set the tone early, find a way to get some stops, and the special teams have to play well as well. Last week, this Auburn special teams didn't play poorly, but the Enterprise special teams dictated field position, and Auburn was in bad spots most of the night, and it was just a kind of a nonstop things that didn't go Auburn's way last week. Auburn's got to find a way to get something positive going early, and I think if you can get something good going, score something like that, you can get these kids back into a comfort zone and be like, all right, guys, let's go play our game, and we'll be just fine.
You mentioned the coach at Dothan, his roots, you know, going back to, you know, the coaching staff at Enterprise and in Florida when they enjoyed that success. Is it the offense you would expect when you're preparing for a team like that? Are they running the Chandler Cox Cox special?
That's exactly what they're running. It's a single wing overload system. Get 10, 11 offensive players in the box. Don't know who's going to take a snap. Who takes the snap changes. They'll run everything. It's that offense. And this coach for Dothan, Jed Kennedy. Now, he comes from the Midwest, Wisconsin, Illinois. That area is where he won a state title there. But he brought that offense from Enterprise over here to Dothan, and that's what they're running. And they've had a lot of success with it. His 2 years at Dothan, as they have compiled a 10-4 record since he was hired.
What are the keys defensively to facing a team running that kind of offense? Is it just playing disciplined football and not falling victim to the eye candy and chasing ghosts?
That's exactly what you said. Chasing ghosts is a direct term from what Coach Etheridge said in our pregame conversation. He said you can't chase ghosts. There's a lot of window dressing.
I taught him that, Scott. I told him to say that.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I believe you. But yeah, they false pull. They have a lot of stuff going on to where if you're not very, very sound in what you're doing, they aren't going to gas you for 10 or 15. They're going to gas you for 60 to 65. You know, they got athletes and they get into space. That big run is a touchdown. And the big plays are something that Auburn offensively needs to find a way to do as well. Haven't been able to get that big play, and that's something that I know Auburn wants to change here tonight.
Big ball game. I mean, you hate to say must win, but it's pretty darn close.
I'm sorry, they just turned on the PA system and it got really loud here.
Well, we're wrapping things up. I just said it's a big, big ball game. Looking forward to it, Scott. Hopefully facilities are nearby there in the Dothan box.
Yeah, they're right here, but it'll be myself and me. So we'll see how tonight's broadcast goes, but it should be a good one.
No question about it. Scott, thanks for joining us, man. Good luck to the Tigers tonight.
Thanks. Y'all have a good one.
Scott Bagwell joining us. Yeah, you can hear the PA system blaring pretty good right there. Scott was wrapping things up.
You can get a little bit more of that at 6:30.
That is exactly right. 6:30 over on Wings, 7 o'clock kick with Scott, and that's it.
Scott Bagwell flying solo today.
Yeah, Jack Hudden out going to the Auburn-Cal game. Rob Pate's daughter's got volleyball tonight, so Scott's got it. He'll handle it. That'll be fine.
They asked us, and we said absolutely not.
Well, probably what we would have said. All right, we'll get to our first break.
Scott's going to do great, by the way.
Oh, he will, absolutely.
And like we said, that's a big ball game tonight for
really
Auburn High, a team that has played so well in region play to start 0-1 with a home loss last week. Like They need this one. They got to bounce back, and they're bouncing back on the road against a dangerous team.
All right, Coach Don Dunn joins us when we come back. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
It's time to stop.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Hour number two of the drive, by the way, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we're going to head to our hotline and welcome in our regular Friday afternoon guest, and that's Coach Don Dunn, our own pit boss. Is what we're gonna what we're calling him here on the drive, Coach Don. How you doing today?
Doing great.
Hey, a big weekend last week. I mean, we saw some blowouts, which you would expect. Auburn among those, you know, handling UMass with ease. It was a little more interesting at the very beginning, at the outset, when UMass took their first possession, went right down the field and scored. But after that, the Auburn defense responded and really shut them down until the game was really decided late once they scored again. What did you think of the opening performance by the Tigers last week?
Like you, I thought after that first drive, we settled down on defense. I was really happy with no turnovers, which is very unusual in a first game. And I think we only had four penalties, which is also really, really good for a first game. But I'm like you. I thought that, you know, a little shaky the first drive, which is to be expected. And then after that, they settled down. I thought the two quarterback package kind of threw them for a little loop and got them off balance, especially in the red zone. And very successful with that. But overall, I thought it was a great win, great crowd, and I think everyone was very happy with it. And I don't think we had too many serious injuries, a couple of banged-up kids, but really a good win for the first one.
Yeah, it was a little bit concerning early to see UMass have success on their first few drives, but Auburn buckles down. I think UMass maybe got a little pass-happy as well, but early on, you know, it was even though Auburn was a big favorite, you saw UMass finding some success on the ground against against that Auburn defense.
Yes, I from listening to the little bit I've heard Coach talk this week, I think there was some confusion with alignments and assignments. And when that happens up front, like we talked last week, it upsets your fits. And I'm sure they worked on that this week, getting lined up in the proper gaps. And I think we'll see improvement against the run. I think that's going to be a key this week, is stopping the run and being able to run the ball. And we got to hit some long passes, I think, with our outside receivers. You know, they got that really good running back. I think he had about 188 yards last week. I think he's like eighth in the nation in rushing, but I think we'll be fine. We just got to stop the run and be able to run the ball ourselves, and I think maybe some play action pass and get our receivers open on the corners.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few points scored in this ball game. I mean, Cal, this is a big ball game for Cal. They've been down the last few years as well, and they've got an SEC team coming in. You know that they'd like to sort of make a statement and go, well, there may not be any more Pac-12, but they're hoping they can knock off an SEC school.
Oh, yeah, it's a big game for them to get a team like Auburn to come to their place. Like you said, we haven't been out there much in the history of our program, and it'll be a big game. I think their stadium's, what, about 63,000, and I don't know if they'll have that many. I think we'll have a good crowd. I've talked to a lot of people that were going to make the trip, and there's a lot to do in that area. But I think the weather will be fine. I think, it's going to be around 70 and probably a little bit cooler tomorrow night, so we should be in great shape physically.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to dip into the 60s during the game. So, yeah, that's going to be really, really nice out there. I think there'll be a big crowd as well. I mean, Auburn has there's big Auburn clubs out there in California, I think, that are really excited about this. Quite a few folks from this part of the country have already headed out and are going to be there. I wouldn't be surprised if the stadium is at least a quarter, maybe a third, full of Auburn fans.
I agree with you. We travel well, and, that's a good trip. If you could go out for a couple of days, there's a lot to do out in that area and a lot of things to see. Different part of the world, of course. But I've played one game at that stadium, and it's an old, old stadium. It's kind of neat. It's not really like a double-decker unless they've added on. That was back in the early 90s. But I've been to that stadium, and it's kind of unique. It's an older stadium.
Yeah, it feels like, and there are a couple of those in the Pac-12 that have kept their on-campus stadium from decades ago and haven't really built it up like you see in other parts of the country. And, yeah, it's unusual to play. I think the kickoff time is going to be unusual for Auburn as well. You know, how does a coach adjust for his team when you're playing a game at 9:30 Central Time? You know, what sort of tactics do you think Hugh Freeze will use in the days leading up to kickoff, or even in the hours leading up to keep the
I think it was good. I think it was good that they went out a day early. I would imagine they'll let them sleep in tomorrow. They'll probably have a brunch or something set up when they do get up and go down. I don't think they'll have a assigned time to eat breakfast. They'll kind of let them come in. They'll have some walkthroughs. They won't let them just lay in the room the whole day. Probably some walkthroughs, some meetings. I always like to get Terry and I used to get our guys out and have a walkthrough just with the D-line, just to get them together, not let them sleep, 4 or 5 hours and just lay around. And I'm sure Coach will have something planned for that. I don't think the time's going to bother us. You know, kids are resilient. They don't go to bed anyway. I mean, college kids. So
yeah, but they're not playing football at that time either, though.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. But they're probably playing video games or something. But anyway, I think we'll be fine. And I think it's good that we did get out there a day early. You know, that's what we did when we played out there, I think, 2002. It was Labor Day. I think we played on a Monday. I think we went out Saturday. I know we did. So we went to the Coliseum and had a walkthrough, so we were fine with that. The problem is coming back. You know, we got back like at 4 a.m. or 5 and still had to bus back into Auburn. I think we landed in Columbus.
Yeah, that'll mess you up for a couple of days.
And we had a game that coming Saturday, so that was already Tuesday morning. But luckily, I think we played a team that we handled pretty well. But I think we'll do fine. I'm sure the kids are excited. You know, a lot of these kids have probably never been on a plane, and then they get to ride, 4 hours? And it's a whole different deal, with a new hotel and got to make sure everything's on time. Like we talked last week, I know coach will have a checklist, and each position coach will pretty much babysit their kids while they're out there, you know, make sure they're on time and they're up and they're where they're supposed to be. And, you know, it'll be exciting. I think we'll play well. I really do.
Well, of course, your guys back in 02, that was the last time Auburn's played. You know, Auburn's gone out there. I mean, they obviously played in the championship game.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean, that's the last regular season game that Auburn played was back in 02.
Yes, that was it was a good trip. It was a good game. We should have won the daggone thing, and we just kind of messed it up at the end. But
well, Carnell got cramps.
Yeah, he didn't eat pregame meals, so that changed that. You had to sit with your players from that day on until they were done. But, you know, little things like that you never think about. Why would a kid, you know, he's nervous and didn't.
Probably not hungry. Dehydrate. You know, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of kids don't like to eat before a game, but they got to. I mean, you just almost have to force them.
I have a coach friend, and I mentioned your story about the coach watching after Cadillac's game. Coach watched the pregame meals, and I think they're going to start doing that because they've had some dehydration issues. They say, you know what, I'm gonna watch my team eat lunch before on game night now.
You know, you can't assume anything. It's just you just got to treat them like little babies sometimes, and make sure they do everything they're supposed to do. And you just take things for granted. Well, he'll eat or he'll drink enough fluids. But I know that it's changed, too, now. You know, everything's so much better for the nutrition, and everyone has nutritionists now. We didn't have that back then. And they'll be prepared. Coach will have them ready.
You know, one of the things you were mentioning is you don't want them just sitting around. That's the thing I was a little concerned about is what are you doing in all that time playing that late game? When you go on the road, I've always felt like, man, I'd like to go ahead and play it early. I feel like that's why a lot of road teams can really cause problems for early games, for early kickoffs. The crowd has a tough time getting into it. Plus, the road team is, you know, doesn't have time to sit around and think and just you know, dawdle all day long. But that's something that, you know, Auburn's going to have to deal with playing that 9:30 kickoff.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Whenever we traveled, we wanted that 11 o'clock kickoff, and especially at LSU, which we very seldom got.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. All right.
We at home, we wanted to play at 6. We wanted to play at 6 at home. We always wanted to play at 11 on the road. And you're right. We always played pretty well on the road at 11 because you go, you get up, you play, you come home, and you don't have all day and all night to think about it. But I think this will be a good test for us. I really think that we'll be more physical than they are. We got to do a better job up front. We will, and stop the run and kicking game, all those things, time of possession. But I'm very impressed with the lack of penalties and no turnovers. That's excellent.
You know, Coach Freeze mentioned in the post-game press conference and then talking to us on Monday the disappointment in the defense's struggles to get lined up properly. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact number, but he cited
15. He said 14 or 15.
Couple different numbers that, you know, of plays where Auburn's defense, when UMass snapped it, was not where they needed to be. How do you work on that or fix that in a week? What are the tactics a coach can employ?
I think you have to have maybe a simpler game plan. You know, just get the call in as fast as possible. Communicate it. Repeat it. We even used to have we'd give a rip or Liz call right or left. We'd have our linemen hold up their right hand, left hand, so everybody knew. Little things like that. But the main thing is to get the call in. And first game, you're going to have those problems. And I look for us to improve on that. I'm sure they worked on it all week. You can go fast during the week. Sometimes you don't want to give a call, and you got a mayday call. Make sure everybody knows if you don't get a call where we're going to line up. So you don't have one guy, you know, three gaps removed. You just got to practice it, work on it. I think you got to keep them fresh. You know, when a kid gets fatigued, he's going to be mentally fatigued also. So I think that's just a first game deal.
Talking with Coach Don Dunn here on the Friday edition of The Drive. He is a regular guest with us each Friday here in the 5 o'clock hour. Don, when you're watching the ball game, do you find yourself watching the guys that positions you used to coach, or are you looking at more things than that? I mean, I'm sure it's hard not to be focusing where you used to be grading guys.
Yeah, I think so, Bill. I think it's I try to watch the front, especially the inside guys. Really, like we talked last week, effort. I thought we gave good effort last week from what I could tell just on the TV copy. Look for little things like running to the ball from the front, being lined up. It's sometimes hard to tell on TV if they are lined up right. But, yeah, I find myself watching the D linemen for sure. I watch the old linemen, too. I like to watch them.
Sure. Yeah. You got to know who wins. I mean,
yeah.
When you looked around last week, were there any, I mean, not just the Auburn game. I mean, what sort of caught your eye or what did you notice from the first full weekend of games?
Well, like everybody else, the Colorado deal, I thought that was funny and amazing, and I was just in awe of that kid that played, 150?
Travis Hunter,
snaps.
Yeah.
And I was very tickled. I like that where the underdog goes in. And I like TCU and I like their coach. I think he's a class act, but I thought that was an interesting game. Not a lot of surprises, like you said. A lot of the first game mistakes.
Wasn't a great weekend for the Southeastern Conference in non-conference games.
No, seemed like I was really shocked that LSU got handled that way. And South Carolina, too.
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me.
And Florida, we had a suspicion it might be a struggle for the Gators.
Yeah, I think they're going to struggle this year. You know, it's this portal and transfers, you never know, especially in that first game, what people have. You know, there's some people I didn't even know were playing for other teams. I saw them on the roster. I said, good Lord, I thought he was at another school. But it's crazy.
Yeah, you know, there were multiple games, LSU and Clemson come to mind, where it just was a much different second half than the first half. I mean, I guess even Cal North Texas would be an example of this, too, where that was a competitive
6-point game late in the first half.
Yeah, competitive first half, and then just throttling in the second half.
I was watching that score, and it was close. They took over in the second half, but until then it was close, very close. And then their quarterback situation, we don't know about that either. The one kid supposedly hurt his arm, Jackson, I think.
I don't want to jump to conclusions about why we saw what we saw this past weekend. I would wonder if the transfer portal is taking a hit on some folks' depth. And so that, you know, and when you see lack of depth is in the third quarter and the fourth quarter when some of those starters need to come out and you don't have backups anymore. Like I wonder if that's where some of these teams, you know, where the separation we saw on Saturday, because just remarkable how many games felt like a completely different game in the second half than the one we saw in
the first half.
And
you might be right. That's something we need to watch because that you know, you never know how many of those guys they lost, the seconds and third guys. And
well, our GM was here in the studio yesterday. He's a Clemson grad, and he was talking about the fact that Dabo's lost 33, and he's brought in 2 from the transfer portal.
Well, I think he's going to have to change his philosophy. I know he doesn't like all the new rules and stuff, but, I mean, you got to do it nowadays or you're going to be lost. And Duke, I couldn't believe Duke beat him like that, but I enjoyed it, to be honest with you.
I think a lot of folks did. A lot of folks did. Don, it's great, great stuff and great talking to you, as we do each week. So it sounds like you feel pretty good about Auburn's chances out in California.
I do. And I just think we'll be better at every position from top to bottom. Not every position, but I think we'll dominate the line of scrimmage. At least I hope so.
Yeah, it's what's up front that counts. No question about that. Don,
yes,
thanks.
Sir.
Thanks a lot. What you got planned for the weekend?
Well, I got to go in tonight and not too busy. A lot of people are probably going to be
out of town, road
games. But we got a few orders going out tomorrow. I'll put on some butts about 2 o'clock in the morning and about 25 ribs and some turkey and be cranking it up.
He is the boss.
The pit boss.
Don, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much.
He's a lot of fun.
The best.
And it's great to have him on. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. We have about 20 minutes to go, and let's get to the phones. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Hey, Dan, I took your advice. It's Friday because I normally fool myself, I guess, on Fridays and actually go out to eat while I'm working. And I went to Merlin's today and got the Supreme pizza in it and got the local discount, and it was outstanding.
That's a pretty good pizza place. Yeah, Merlin's on 98 over by the track in Destin. One of my favorite spots growing up. Always happy when you would think it's a franchise, but it's just one dude's pizza place from like the late 90s that's still around. And they used to do everything at menu price was buy one get one if you carried out, and I was there far too often when it was
we can't afford this
when it was yeah they could not
gonna
think,
break us
I think yeah I think they decided after they saw me too often, they said we're not doing that special anymore. But yeah, I encourage anybody if you're ever down in Destin looking for a solid pizza spot, Merlin's is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, I'm looking at the box now. It says 100% local pizzeria, 100% local flavor, and it says life is short pizza. And it was good. It was good. I did the thin crust this time. I may try the hand toss because a lot of toppings on a thin crust pizza will kind of make it soggy, you know. So. But I was going to comment on the whole jet lag thing. Now, when I was in the military, I lived in the Eastern time zone for 20-plus years and went out to Nellis out in Vegas probably a dozen times. You know, didn't really affect me, but, yeah, I would always think, it's like, oh, it's 6 o'clock in North Carolina, it's 3 o'clock here. But and then I also, spent a year in Korea where the time difference was anywhere from, it was either 13 or 14 hours, depending on if the U.S. was on daylight savings time. But the thing that I did to get over jet lag, because I never had jet lag going back and forth from Korea, was to figure out what time it was, where I was going, and to, like, if it was night there and I was going to show up in the morning, was to sleep when I should be sleeping if I was in Korea. But I don't know if that's going to work in California because it's only 2 hours difference. But like a couple other guests said that, you know, it's only 2 hours. It probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do, you know, because normally at 9:30 I'm laying on the couch.
You're starting to wind down. Yeah,
starting to wind down and fall asleep watching the late game on the West Coast. So I may have to take a midday nap.
Yeah, it really may be more of a problem for the folks who are here or in the East or in the Eastern time zone that are wanting to watch the ball game than the folks that are out there. Because when you get out there, if you've been out there for a day or so, hopefully you're adjusted to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, when I would go out to Las Vegas, it wasn't that big of a jet lag deal and stuff, But again, back here, it's kind of like flying west to east. It's worse than flying east to west.
Well, it's tough when you lose a bunch of hours and all of a sudden it's a lot later than you think. Yeah.
Right. So, I might figure something out. I got a lot of stuff I'm planning on cooking tomorrow. So maybe I'll just cook all day and eat and then take a nap and like you would after a Sunday dinner watching
like Thanksgiving.
NFL.
Yeah, just treat it like Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Can't wait for tomorrow night. Appreciate the phone call, Mitch. Great stuff. The battle to watch the game. Still raging on.
This is crazy when you've got. Doesn't look like there's much conceding going on Disney's part, does it?
No. ESPN posting in the last couple of hours a news release. You can see it. I know they have a little pop-up alert if you use the ESPN app. informing you of your options if you do not have access to ESPN through Charter Spectrum. Right now, that battle is ongoing between between Disney Entertainment and Charter Communications. In the meantime,
yeah, this weekend is more important to a lot of local people than last weekend. If you're a season ticket holder, you went, and then you worry about how you get to watch the recorded version or the replay. This time, hey, it's on ESPN again, and you're not going to get to see Alabama, Texas, or Auburn, Cal. If you have Charter Spectrum.
I think there are quite a few people in the Southeast that will be looking for other options if this Charter Spectrum thing is not resolved.
I don't think it's likely to get done before tomorrow night.
It doesn't sound like it. And so, we've got the game. We've got the Auburn game tomorrow right here on Wings 94.3.
That is right.
You can catch it on the Auburn Sports Network and on the Auburn Network family of stations. Wings 94.3 will have Auburn Cal. The streaming services available to folks if they want to watch the game without Charter Spectrum. I know ESPN's mentioned Hulu Live, which is Disney owned. You've also got Sling, DirecTV Stream, YouTube TV. There's quite a few of these services. That Fubo is another one. So yeah, I mean there are options available to folks, but it doesn't seem like the battle between Charter and Disney is ending anytime soon. And so folks who currently cannot watch ESPN, I don't think a resolution is coming without you taking action.
334-321-1390. I just got a text from Jack Hudden, who he was talking with Scott. Remember, Scott Bagwell was on with us about 40 minutes ago and wasn't sure who the starting quarterback is. He says Henry Allen, the first baseman from the Auburn High baseball team, is going to get the start at quarterback for the Tigers tonight.
Yeah, sounds like Auburn could be dealing with a situation there at quarterback, and we'll see how often they use the young man who played the first two games of the season. But sounds like Auburn making some changes there with the game against Dothan coming up. We've got that on Wings 94.3 in the next hour or so, so you can switch
on
over to Wings.
We're about 45 minutes away from the pregame.
Auburn and Dothan, live from Dothan with Scott Bagwell.
Yep, so just a little tidbit there. I tell you what, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in. Again, the phone number, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Bending, stretching.